A standoff is brewing between state and federal governments over Australia's building defects crisis as ministers prepare to meet tomorrow to find a solution. Victoria has announced taxpayers will fork out $600 million to fix hundreds of buildings covered in flammable cladding. The federal government, though, as we were mentioning earlier with Alan Tudge, has rejected Premier Daniel Andrews' request to pick up half of that bill. Flammable cladding is not the only issue bringing misery to apartment owners and tenants around the country. Linda Kypriadakis knows only too well the extent of the problem on the ground. She's the director of Australian Building Management Accreditation, or ABMA. She runs a team of building defect inspectors. Linda, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Linda, you started out as a builder yourself. You now run a firm that inspects buildings for defects and helps body corporates, I think, manage claims for defective work. So how did we get to this situation where we seem to be facing a crisis of shoddy building in our biggest cities? Are they keeping you busy as you seek out and discover defective work?
Gosh, there's a lot of things to respond to in that question, Fran. But defective building work is just a nature of the construction process. It's not to be alarmed by in and of itself. The difficulties arise in what I see when there's a breakdown in the process to claim from the builder rectification of those defects. So in my experience as a builder and construction manager and an inspector, we see defects in every single building we inspect. But then when we try to negotiate rectification with the builder, we often get a difficulty emerging there.
Okay. Sometimes. Let me stop you there for a moment. What are the most common defects that you detect and that are as widespread, almost commonplace?
Well, I recently assisted Dr. Nicole Johnson from Deakin University in a study into defects in Australia. So there's some really good empirical data in her research paper that was published a couple of weeks ago. However, I can tell you that the worst defects that we see in over 90% of inspected buildings include passive fire defects. So these are defects in the fire separation systems that prevent fire from progressing from its point of ignition to other locations within the building. This is on at least 90% of buildings that we inspect. The next most common defect is defects that allow water to penetrate the structural areas or the habitable areas of the buildings.
Right.
And the last, probably the most common defect we see is insufficient painting. External painting is, lack of film build with the painting, a bit of a rush to paint the exterior of the building and then, bugger off to the next job, basically. So that That causes an exposure to water ingress, which again adversely affects the structural integrity of the building.
These are very serious defects and pretty common, as you say, 90% of buildings have passive fire defects.
Indeed.
How you're examining after the building, once these are already starting to appear, how are these getting built? Does that mean private certifiers aren't doing their job, builders themselves aren't doing the jobs, the engineers who are signing off on this aren't doing their jobs? Where is it breaking down?
It is a systematic failure, really. Passive fire, we're talking about class 2 to 9 buildings, by the way. Passive fire might be fire rated ceilings and walls, fire collars for penetration through concrete slabs. So when in Australia, we have a self-certification model where a subcontractor certifies his or her own work. I just don't know if we're mature enough for a self-certification model. So the private certifier at the end of the job basically gathers up all the self-certification warranties from the contractors that completed the various aspects of works. And provided all of those pieces of paper are in order, the private certifier may choose to issue an occupancy permit and allow habitation after that.
Okay, so certify certified occupancy permits based on paperwork gathering, not on site inspections.
Indeed.
There seems to be a bit of backpassing going on at the moment between builders, certifiers, insurers and governments as to who's at fault. Yesterday I spoke with Danita Warne, the Chief Executive of Master Builders Australia. Let's have a listen.
By and large, most in the industry are doing the right thing, but there is always in any industry a component of those who aren't doing the right thing, and they've got to be held to account. As an industry association, we can't do that, but those who regulate the industry can. And we've seen a significant change and a decline in the enforcement of the building regulations and also regulatory gaps to ensure all of those in the building supply chain, not just builders, are responsible for their part in building buildings.
That's Danita Warne. Is she right? Is it just some sort of rogue operators in the industry, or is it broad? Sounds to me you're saying it's a broader systemic issue.
Look, I couldn't have said it better myself. Totally agree with what that lovely lady just said. I find that where there is a regulator in the state that's managing defective building work claims lodged by building owners, within their organisation, they tend to lack the capability to understand the complex nature of defects, unfortunately. So consumers that are seeking to the local regulator to find assistance in managing a defective building work claim have quite a difficult time in getting success there.
Okay. Can I just ask you finally, because federal and state building ministers will meet tomorrow, what in your view needs to change to stop dodgy buildings from going up, defective buildings from going up?
Well, there's three things I would recommend. The first thing is I would like to see a change to the Building Act in each state, mandating that with the occupancy permit issued at practical completion of construction, there is a compliance schedule attached to that permit, which is a guideline to the building owner on how to maintain their building beyond practical completion, because I see building owners struggle to know how to manage the structural integrity of their building. So first of all, let's get government helping our owners, corporations and building owners to understand how to manage their building after completion.
Okay.
The second thing that I'd love to see is the regulator of the fire legislation in each state undertaking a inspection at practical completion to ensure that the passive fire systems are compliant and the fire regulator signing off on those passive fire systems. I know the fire regulators do undertake commissioning inspections at practical completion of the active systems within the building, but I would like to see that expanded to the fire regulator including passive fire in there.
And just briefly,
inspection.
The third thing, finally?
I would like to see the private certifier conducting hold point inspections when waterproof membranes have been laid. There's a lot of defects arising out of water leaks through failed waterproof membranes. The contract of supply is a self-certification warranty on his waterproofing, which is then covered up by tiles in the bathroom or plants in a planter box and fails very quickly after practical completion. Yeah, so hold point inspections by the private certifier to confirm the waterproof membranes are adequate.
In other words, eyes on before it's all covered up. Linda, thank you very much for joining us.
No problem.
Linda Kapriotakis is the Director of Australian Building Management Accreditation.